Spirit to Reverend Massey, to Minister Brinkley, to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, to everyone in this place, amen, to our youngest member and to the oldest member. There is a word for all of us, amen, in the Lord. Yes, sir. Amen. We would like to excavate a verse from the responsive reading for your consideration on today. We're not going to hold you long. Amen. Brother Haynes got us all out there on the internet and everything else. And,
amen.
I'm shy, you know. If I want all those folk looking at me, things like that. But, amen. I'm the shy brother. Amen. Amen. We thank God for technology, and we thank God for your gifts. Amen. To make all possible that is going forth. Amen. Thank Brother Haynes for being so diligent and steadfast and trying to work out all the bugs, amen, in our system. But we hope and pray that what we do would serve to magnify and to enhance the kingdom of God. But that is our job, that is our business, that is our work, amen. It's all about Him.
Amen.
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 In the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, verse 13. When you find that, when you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
You will find these words. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other.
Yes.
Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Mm-hmm. Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
Amen.
Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
Amen.
I want to use for a subject today, trying to love too. Ain't easy to do. Amen. Amen. Trying to love too ain't easy to do. Brother Robinson saying amen. 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 I know that took a lot of y'all back. You know, it may have missed some of our young folk, but for some of us old school folk, it took you way back. Amen. I know it probably was sung by different artists, but this was a one-hit wonder by William Mayer.
Yes, sir.
Trying to love two. Ain't easy to do. Some of y'all act like y'all tried that. Amen. Amen. Back in the day, Brother Hill said back in the day, amen. You know, somebody's needs were gonna go unmet, is that right? Amen. You just can't do it. Amen. This is our stewardship month, and on last week we introduced you to your journey to Jesus. And on the day we want to share with you from these words, amen. And we're glad to see that you have a sense of humor.
Amen.
Amen. Humor is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in case you didn't know that. A man once said, the best thing about having money is that you don't have to worry about not having it. Amen. My uncle, my mother's brother, used to always say it. I can't say it quite the way he said it in public, but he said the only thing about being broke is just so inconvenient. Can I get a witness here? I'm not sure if this individual that made the statement was right. There's a lot of people with money who spend an inordinate amount of time worrying about how to hold on to it. That's because it's more trouble to take care of money than it is to get money. Can I get a witness here? Money may not be everything, but take it away from some people and they have nothing left.
All right.
Money is their God, their central focus,
yes,
their main ingredient.
Yes.
These people hate to be reminded that, amen, you can't take it with you.
All right.
Amen. And I know the Golden Gate Funeral Home does a small percentage of totally what we consider outrageous type funeral services.
Yes.
Brother Haynes, have they ever had one where they had a trailer with their money behind? No U-Haul with their earthly possessions. You need to know, I tell you this all the time, that when you die, somebody else going to spend your money. Somebody else going to live in your house. And if you ain't careful, somebody else going to marry your wife. Trying to get a witness. You can't take it with you. The real trouble with money is not that you can't take it with you, but that you have a hard time keeping it while you are here. Famous preacher by the name of John Wesley once reconciled his thoughts about money with these words. He said, make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. When you think about it, that sounds like good advice. The kind of advice that could only, amen, come from God.
Amen.
So I thought about that, and so let's take a closer look at this theologian's insight about money and see if we can reconcile them with God's will for our lives.
All right.
He said, first of all, make all you can. On the surface, these four words seem to express a deep-seated greed. After all, there can't be much time left to serve God if you spend all your time working and trying to make money.
Amen.
But let's not lose sight of what John Wesley was saying. He was actually paraphrasing the truth of scriptures. That if a man wants to eat,
all right,
he has to work.
Yeah.
Got to give a witness here. That's what Paul said. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Paul delivered a blunt message to the Thessalonians. He told them point blank, if any would not work, neither should he eat.
Yeah.
That's 2 Thessalonians 3:10.
All right.
The early Christians were told to withdraw from anybody who walked disorderly.
All right.
2 Thessalonians 3:6, and the word disorderly meant lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Help me, Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Any of y'all hanging out with lazy folk?
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, withdraw yourself from the lazy individual.
Mm-hmm.
Notice, this is what happened in Thessalonica. Some of the believers had become excited over the return of the Lord and the promise of being with him forever in the new heavens and earth. They became so excited that they began to sacrifice all they could to meet the needs of people around them. And I know that sounds good.
Yes.
But they went too far.
All right.
They began to ignore the Lord's words that only God knew. Amen. When he would be returning.
Yes.
And they begin to, in their own minds, project dates and try to declare when he would return and when that would take place.
All right.
Some of the folk even went as far to say, well, the Lord is coming back. And, ain't no use to me going to work next week. I'm just going to quit my job because, after all, if the Lord is coming, ain't no sense in working. Is that right?
Amen.
Hey, man, if he's coming next week, that's one less week I got to put up with a mean supervisor.
Yeah.
Trying to get a witness here.
Amen.
That's one less week that I've got to deal with. 50 cents above minimum wage job that I don't like going to anyway.
Yeah.
So they started quitting their jobs. Amen. And with this sacrificial ideology that they had conjured up in their mind erroneously, amen, the results was catastrophic.
Yes, sir.
They now had to, those that quit their jobs and couldn't get them back, amen. Boss man wouldn't rehire. Stamped on their paperwork, not rehirable. Amen. They have no job, no income, no source of survival. And so they had to start living off other folk.
Yes, sir.
Help me, Holy Ghost. I know we don't know nobody like that.
All right.
Amen. And God was not pleased with their actions.
Yes, sir.
As believers, we are supposed to set an example on how to live and work, amen, and that is the duty of man.
Yes, sir.
I submit to you that the Christian on the job ought to be the best employee.
Yes, sir.
In the building, is that right?
Yeah.
Amen. Nobody ought to be able to look at you and know that you saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and a member of the Fourth Ward Baptist Church, but you can't get your job done.
All right.
Boss man have to look for you.
Yeah.
When we take a break, we really break.
Yeah.
Folk have to send out a search party. For we ought to set the standard and the example for everybody to follow. We ought not be the ones griping and complaining and cussing and fussing, amen, in the workplace.
Yes, sir.
We ought to show up and say, thank you, God, I got a job.
Amen.
Help me, Holy Ghost. I never will forget, if you allow me to digress, back in the days when I carried mail like Minister Brinkley, amen, we come in, and that's back when mail was heavy.
Yeah.
Amen. We come in and we have what they call business bulk mail. And you call it junk mail.
Yeah.
Amen. It'd be everywhere. And it was this one guy said, man, I'm so tired of all of this junk mail. I wish we just carried first class. I told him, man, I said, I'm excited. I said, every time I see 15 15, 16, 18 feet of mail, I get excited because I know that I've got a job. And he said, man, I ain't gonna talk to you no more. I said, you got to set the standard. Trying to get a witness here. Hey, you ought not be the one that folk point to that's disruptive on the job, that's lazy and not getting anything done. We got to set the example. Paul warned the Romans not to be slothful in business. Romans 12:11. Paul told the Ephesians to stop stealing and to get to work. Ephesians 4:28. He told the Hebrews not to be slothful. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 6:12.
All right.
God told Adam to get to work in the garden. He said, dress it and keep it.
Amen.
Amen. He didn't just sit him there to enjoy himself, but he gave him a job to do. Can I get a witness here? And we ought to have a job. Amen. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Because night cometh when no man can work. You know, I know that sometimes the job market is hard and it's tough on folk out there, and it's hard to get hired depending on your set of skills and your education and the availability of work. There's so many variables that go into it, but I submit to you that it's something out there that somebody, that all of us can do.
Yeah.
Gotta get a witness here, but we got to decide ourselves and think that I'm unemployed, but yet that job is beneath me. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you what the word says. We're talking about stewardship, is that right? If you unemployed flipping burgers at McDonald's, or do. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm talking about. Amen. But we think that I can't do that kind of work. Amen. After all, I got my GED. I got my high school diploma. That job is beneath me. I say to you that the word says you're lazy and folk ought not be hanging around with you. You got something that you can do. Amen. Amen. Y'all ain't gonna help me today. Amen. We ought to earn, amen, all that we can. There's clearly a defined reason for earning all you can. And that brings us to John Wesley's next point in his statement. He said, save all you can.
Yeah.
Help me, Holy Ghost. I know I'm messing up a whole lot of folks' carpet this morning. Talking about earning all you can, saving all you can, and wait till I get to the last one. Y'all sure ain't gonna like that. But save all you can.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yes, sir.
Gotta get a win. That's tough, amen. Everything is going up, amen. Stamps just went up, amen. They're going up. That's why I try to buy the forever stamp, so, amen, I don't have to keep paying the increase, amen. But I'm always pro postal service, amen. Amen. So I say that's not a bad deal, amen. To pay 49 cents for a letter that starts in New York and get it delivered in San Francisco for 49 cents, you can't beat that. That's my advertisement for the United States Postal Service. But we got to save.
Yeah.
We love to acquire stuff.
Yeah.
The list of our heart's desires is so long that we could work a lifetime and still not earn enough to buy all the things we desire.
All right. Yeah.
Help me, Holy Ghost. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. You've got to reach a level of contentment. In other words, they got to be a cap sometimes on your desires. Because if you're not careful, the more you get, the more you want.
Yes,
sir. But a good steward knows that things and stuff are corruptible.
Yes, sir.
Everything that we have is touched with the stain of sin and decadence and deterioration and decay.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to last.
All right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It is corruptible.
Yeah.
No matter how long you take care of it.
All right.
How much time you put into it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It just won't last.
Oh, yeah.
You can have the best house in the neighborhood.
All right.
But if you keep on living, it's going to need some work done.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen. No matter how long the warranty is, things will eventually become outdated and obsolete.
Yes.
Well, they got the newer version. I need the newer and the faster and the better version. But Jesus taught that a wise steward is one who is able to care for his household. The care of our families is one of our primary responsibilities.
Amen.
Well, you say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, listen to what the Bible says.
All right.
Proverbs 13 and 22. Solomon wrote, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children.
Yes.
Children.
All right.
Proverbs 22 and 7. He said, the rich rules over the poor. And the borrower is the slave to the lender. Luke 14 and 28, Luke wrote, for which of you desiring to build a tower doth not first sit down and count the cost, whether he have enough to complete it?
All right.
1 Timothy 5 and 8, Paul said, but if anyone doth not provide for his family, his relatives, and especially the members of his household,
yes, sir,
he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Can I get a witness here?
Yeah.
Well, if I had time, I could teach you something, but teaching make folk mad, you know. But so you have to come to Bible study to get mad. I want you to get mad on Sunday morning. But you know, sometimes the responsibility lies in our hands, but we're passing it on to somebody else. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I know the Bible says that the church ought to take care of widows and orphans.
Yes.
Can I get a witness here?
Yes.
But sometimes they got other folk.
Yes, sir.
Other relatives.
All right.
Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm talking about.
Come on now.
I hear you.
But you know, I've learned to have a heart for God. And I don't ask folk when they need or have a need.
Yes.
Where did you ask so and so first? I don't do that. I let God work it out. But if I need something, I ought to be able to turn to my family first of all. Help me, Holy Ghost. We cannot escape the clear message here. God wants us to. He wants us to be frugal.
All right.
To put aside enough of our earnings to provide for our families.
Yes.
Even in tough times.
Yeah.
I know we sometimes put away for a rainy day.
Yes, sir.
But the forecast in many of our lives is raining all the time. Help me, Holy Ghost. So whatever we put aside, we got to use that next week. Solomon told his son, precious treasures and all are in the wise man's dwelling.
Yes.
Why? Because the wise man understands that famines do come.
All right.
He's wise to set aside some of his wealth for some stormy days.
Yes.
He finished that saying with these words, but a foolish man devours it. Help me, Holy Ghost. Anybody here? Spend all you get before next payday. Oh, God. I know y'all wouldn't know like this, but we're talking about stewardship. That's why we proverbially live from paycheck to paycheck. And yet, even as Christians, we are guilty of this week to week without saving anything. Most Americans spend out their earnings every week, ultimately relying on Social Security, Medicare, to support them in their retirement. And I don't know about you, but I'm concerned about Social Security and Medicare. Because when I view the landscape of the workers of today, you do know the people that work now pay for folk to get some
Social Security now. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So I'm concerned that when my time comes, we got some rascals that ain't gonna be doing no work. I'm already paid my part. I've reached my quota. But when I get time to receive, will it be anybody there? This is not God's plan. It's man's plan. And the devil loves this plan. Help me, Holy Ghost. Somebody said, some financial guru said that everybody ought to have at least 6 months savings.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Hey, I'm going to tell the truth and shame the devil. I ain't got that. But in other words, they say if you're wise and you lose your job, you ought to be able to live 6 months. Without worrying about any paycheck. Y'all think about that. Somebody said a good plan is the 10-10-80 plan. The EBA instituted a 10-20-70 plan. In other words, 10% ought to go where?
To
God. 10%.
Yeah.
Then they said 10% you can save. Or 20%. Then live off the remaining part of your earnings.
Yeah.
That requires discipline.
Yeah.
It means, and I don't want to bother nobody. It means you got to resist some of the expensive fashion trends.
Yes, sir.
Amen, Sheila. You can't always tell the pastor that Sister Edwards deserves a Boonin Burke purse. Baby, hold up your purse. Did y'all see that on Facebook? It means that you gotta shop wisely. Amen. You don't always have to go to Neiman's. But amen, sometimes a secondhand shop will do. Sometimes, and oh, this really hurt me. Sometimes you gotta drive something you don't feel that you destined to drive. Amen. I went in Colorado the day and the man said, "You a Cadillac man, ain't you?" I said, "I'm a Cadillac man, but I got Malibu money." Sometimes you gotta live in a smaller apartment. Amen. But the payoff is shocking.
Yeah.
Just consider just this. My niece just went downstairs. She's the mathematician. But consider two people earning $400 weekly. They save $80 per week. That's $4,160 per year. And you take that money and invest it in a safe money market fund with a modest return of 8%. They calculate that you can be a millionaire by the time you retire. But you got to have a plan and discipline. Help me, Holy Ghost. We can see that earning money makes sense. Saving money makes even more sense. So why does John Wesley, when he say that you should give all you can, why does that make sense? Well, give all you can. Earn all you can. Save all you can. Give all you can.
Yeah.
Christian giving is always our response. Amen.
Amen.
The motivation for our giving is that we have received. Help me, Holy Ghost.
All right.
You ought to be cognizant of your giving. ought not be shocked when you get your financial statement at the end of the year from the church.
All right.
And it don't balance out to at least 10%.
All right.
Help me, Holy Ghost. Of what you made. We don't check no W-2s.
Amen.
I don't ask you to bring in something from human resource.
All right.
To prove to us what you make.
Yeah, that's right.
That's between you and God.
All right. Amen.
But you do know there are some churches that are putting folk out.
Yeah.
Because they ain't giving what they're supposed to give. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I can't operate like that because the Lord will take care of that. Well, you ought not be shocked.
All right.
Don't you dare open up a statement. You made $50,000 a year.
All right.
Mm. 10% of 50,000 is $5,000. Is that right? If you got a problem figuring it out, take that little decimal point and move it one place. That's how you figure it out. Oh, amen. Like some walls out. Y'all ain't gonna want to hear no more stewardship, but we ought to at least be in that ballpark. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. Because Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 8, freely ye have received.
Amen.
And freely we ought to give. Trying to get a witness here. You know, it's awfully good to be able to give.
Yes, sir.
Help me, Holy Ghost. I love to give and help folk. Amen. That stand in need of help. This doesn't mean that we're trying to pay God back.
All right.
That would be impossible. It does, however, mean that our giving begins in our gratitude. Do you not hear what the word says? That we ought not be robbing. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Now, y'all making me preach too hard. Robbing God. Knife or a pistol.
All right.
But we're robbing God.
Yeah.
With our pen. Yeah. Oh, help me, Lord God. Help me. But you know, I'm thankful for the givers. Amen. I'm thankful for what God has blessed this church with. But I just know.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That we can add to that tremendously.
Yeah.
If everybody did their part.
Right.
It's not equal giving.
Yes, sir.
But it's equal sacrifice.
Amen.
Oh, I'm almost through.
Right.
Give and it shall be given unto you.
Yes.
Good measure pressed down and shaken together.
All right.
Run it over. It's clear what Jesus was saying. We receive in response to what we give.
Yeah.
If you want much, you got to learn to give much.
Yeah.
That's the same biblical principle in Malachi 3 and 10.
Yes, sir.
When he said, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that there might be meat in my house.
Yes.
And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will open unto you the windows of heaven.
Yeah.
And pour you out a blessing.
Yes.
That there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Yes.
Amen to the word of God.
Yeah.
But we struggle with God's principle for wealth.
Yeah.
We like what Benjamin Franklin said. He said, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Yeah.
We would rather hold on, amen, to what we've got.
All right.
Then to test God.
Yeah.
And allow God to prove to us.
Yeah.
But I like what Paul said over Ben Franklin. Paul said, but this I say.
All right.
He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.
Yeah.
Every man according as he had purposed
Yes, sir.
So let him give, not grudgingly, not of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. Can I get a witness here? Did you know that you can give all that you have?
Yes, sir.
To the Lord and still provide for your family.
All right.
My mother will always testify that no matter what she ate, she always had enough left over. Can I get a witness here? That's the part that the Thessalonians didn't get. Giving all that you have is a state of mind.
Yes, sir.
You know that you must provide for your family.
All right.
You know you must work. But you also know that Christ saved you from eternal death. So you learn as Christians,
all right,
to balance what you need against what God needs from you. Come here, witness here. That little story I want to share with you, and I'll take my seat.
Come on, Pastor.
That was a broken-hearted father.
Yes.
By the name of Reverend Matthew Sands.
Yes.
He received a telegram from the U.S. Air Force that said his son was missing in accident, believed dead. His hands trembled as he turned over the telegram. Then he wrote on the back of the telegram, all that I have and all that I am.
Yes, sir.
I give to God for his service.
Yes.
These words were the only thing that brought him comfort. But later the phone rang, a few days later, at a university close to where he lived. A man was looking for an instructor.
Yes, sir.
And on the way to the university, he passed an abandoned church.
All right.
And the church, the sign said, for sale by auction. Reverend Sands went in prayer before heading to the university. And decided that he would put in a bid on the church and restore it to its original mission. So the day of the auction came, two men showed up. Reverend Sands, with his proposal in his pocket. The other man, Andrew Jokes, who planned to turn the church into an amusement park. Curious people gathered at the church home to witness the auction. When the auctioneer called for the silent bid, Reverend Sands placed his bid in the plate. Help me, Holy Ghost. But he soon realized that he had given the auctioneer the wrong envelope. And by rules of the auction, you couldn't exchange your bid. Disappointed and disgusted, he waited to hear the details of the winning bid. And the man in charge of the sale opened and silently read the bids. And declared that Reverend Sands was the highest bidder. And he read the bid out loud. They said, all that I have and all that I am, I give to God for his service. Can I get a witness here? Maybe you are already following John Wesley's sound advice to make all you can, to save all you can. But today, you realize that you haven't given God all you can. You can't outgive God. Because loving too ain't easy to do. You can't serve God and mammon. There ain't a witness here. You can't serve two masters. You'll end up hating one and loving the other. Holding to one, despising the other. Am I right, Brother Heath? Back in the day, help me, Holy Ghost. Are your bonds full? Can I get a witness here? Why not start shoveling out some of your resources into the kingdom? little shovel in, and he uses a bigger shovel than you can ever use. You can't be God-given. Can I get a witness here? And if I had time, I could call the rich fool to the testify. He said in the parable that he, his grounds had brought forth bountiful fruit to the point that his barns wasn't full enough or big enough. And he said to himself, self, you greatly multiply your crops, but your barns are inadequate. So build some bigger barns. Can I get a witness here? He built some bigger barns, decided to build bigger barns. But that night, the Lord said, thou fool, tonight thy soul is required of thee. Who shall these things be that you have now earned? You've got to learn to give out. Tell me the witness here. If you find it tough to donate your financial resources to the growth of God's kingdom, remember, you can't serve two masters.
All right.
You got to choose. Which master you will serve.
Amen.
And if you are in a predicament, if you are in a perplexing problem that you don't seem to be able to get out, you need to pray about that. Seek help, seek guidance. Tell God that you won't to put him first in your life. Is that all right? Because I'm not naive to think that all of us are just doing extremely well, that we haven't made some mistakes down through the years, and we're in a situation that we created mostly by ourselves. But if you put God first, this you ought to teach young people that if you can't learn it yourself, if you're saying you can't teach an old dog new tricks and you that old dog and you don't want to learn nothing new, you ought at least by your own mistakes and by your own admission say that you have messed up. But I don't want my child to live like this. I'm going to teach them to earn all they can, save all they can, give all they can, and the first 10% ought to go to God.
Well, I know that didn't sound good, but a lot of us are messed up financially because we didn't give to God first. Now we way down the road and we don't see no way of reversing that. But I want to tell you, there is a way to reverse that.
Amen.
So don't leave here thinking, well, the pastor has condemned me, I ain't going back no more. That's not the case. You can change it. God can turn that around and reorganize your priorities. Is that right? But you have to commit to starting right now. Loving too is hard. It's hard to do.
Amen?
But he also wants you to enjoy his blessings, and that's what God is all about. The key is to trust him to balance your assets. Make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. It's a perfect plan for peace of mind. Try it and you never regret it. Is that right? How can we boast about a God that has given us so much, but we give him so little? How can we do it? How can we condemn the church for inactivity, lack of outreach, lack of means, lack of support, and we are not supporting? Is that right? And I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just telling the truth.
Amen.
And I thank God every week for the givers in this church. Every time you have something, you put something in your mouth that you didn't pay for. You enjoy something that you didn't have to pay for. You ought to thank God for tithes and offerings. When
you walk into a church and you ain't got to tiptoe around dirt and junk.
Yeah.
Thank God for tithes and offerings. When you come in here and you got the beauty of this sanctuary, thank God for tithes and offerings. Because I know every week when I drive by Bank of America, put my check in there that your tithes and your offerings provided for me. I thank God for tithes and offerings. Every time I've ever been in a situation, I thank God for this church and the givers that we have. All I want you to do, brothers and sisters, is to enjoy the joy of giving just like everybody else. Amen. And if you are a giver and you enjoy giving, you ought to tell somebody how it makes you feel. You ought to tell somebody how God blessed you. You ought to tell somebody how God made a way out of no way when you gave your last dime. You ought to tell somebody that I found out from experience that you can't outgive God. Tell somebody. That's why I always try to encourage my brothers. Talk to the congregation about giving. Don't let it always be the preacher. Every time the preacher say something about giving folk, that's all he wanted, money. But no, we got some individuals in this church that ought to be testifying to other folk. Amen. We get tithes and offerings from folk that can't even come to church. We get tithes and offerings in the mail. Hallelujah. Because somebody sit down at their home computer. And when they did their finances, when they paid their bills, they had the bank to send us a check. Amen. And I thank God for those individuals. You know what that said to me? They wanted to make sure that God got his before they got home to them. And that's sometimes what we got to start doing. I don't like to figure out my bills before I give. But when I do, I say, man, ain't no way. You got to do it by faith and trust God. Is that all right? That's your stewardship word for today. Amen. Amen. So go on to church and open. If you're here, this is your opportunity to say yes to the Lord. Amen. And know the pastor ain't mad at nobody. We love you all. Amen. We don't share or discuss your financial information with nobody. Amen. But anytime you want to discuss it with me, we can certainly talk about that. Amen. Because we want you to experience the full blessings of God. And not just a blessing, just a joy. Just the joy of giving. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. So quit trying to, don't go back to the old school. Trying a little too. Amen. You can't do it. Somebody's going to come up short. Somebody ain't going to get adequate loving. Is that right? Brother Hill? You're supposed to give me that little old, you know, that thing you do when I preach. Amen. Amen. Are you gonna do something? Amen.
Teach me, O Lord, the ways of thy statutes, and I will keep them until the end. Thy law, yea, I shall observe them with my whole heart. Teach me, O Lord,
teach me, Lord,
teach me, teach me, O Lord, teach me. Oh,
serve.